It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For me, the outlook on the season is that, like, I think the Niners are still contenders and all that, but it's like, okay, maybe the Lions can get them this year, or the, I don't want to say the Eagles, but insert contender NFC team. I don't think they're going to be able to just get through the playoffs this year. Like, I think they can get God this year.
Hey, that was a quality win for the Lions, but that's not moving me.
I know, but the Niners look more like those teams than they do like an elite team.
So I got you. So it doesn't look like they're...
The Niners look like everyone else rather than what they've looked like before.
Okay. And that, to me, I got you. You point made, point valid. I don't care. Like, they can look like everybody else during the regular season. That doesn't matter. Who will be the better team when the postseason gets here? That's the tough part about this. We can react week to week. We can react to everything we saw. But in the end, the assessment on the San Francisco 49ers is exactly the same. This team is expected to win the Super Bowl. Or I'll take let me rephrase that. This team, their only acceptable outcome is to win the Super Bowl. We've gone over this. They might be the only team in the league that's like this. Even the Kansas City Chiefs, if the Bills get them in the AFC Championship, if the Houston Texans get them in the AFC Championship, Cincinnati Bengals, whoever, it's like, all they was due. No one questions whether the Chiefs will be right back at it next year. If the 49ers get them in the Super Bowl, if the Lions get them in the Super Bowl, no one will think any other, Kansas City will be right back here next year. How much more can Patrick Mahomes add to his legacy? For the 49ers, if they get to the Super Bowl and lose, it's a failure on Kyle Shanahan. It is a franchise's inability to win the big game. It's a coach's inability to win the big game. It is a worldwide franchise that can't win the Super Bowl. They are no different than the Dallas Cowboys, other than the fact that they've been there. And if 49ers fans wants to hang their hat on that, that's perfectly fine. You can hang your hat on the fact that you've been to two Super Bowls and lost them, and the Dallas Cowboys haven't. The fact is, over about the same amount of years, neither of y'all have one. And KC likes to say, it's the Cowboys, it's the Packers, it's the 49ers, it's the Bears, it's all that. Bro, great. Great. It's going to make when they lose that much worse. So if you want to drop the 49ers down into a contender just like everybody else, there's nothing elite about them. There's nothing exceptional about them. They're just like the Lions or the Packers or whoever your favorite NFC contender is. Salute. Because in the end, none of it matters until they get to the playoffs. If they lose, different story. They lose early. Very, very different story. But right now, my outlook is exactly the same. I didn't think this season would be super pretty for them. They've got a lot of things to correct. I still think they're the team in the NFC.
Doesn't that matter, though, if you go through a rough regular season in the NFL? Like, I'm just generally asking, like, can teams just turn it up come playoff time? Like, well, we've seen, like, Eli and those guys did, coming from the wild card and all that. But.
Well, that was different. They were in the playoffs for like 8 or 9 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's different.
I mean, like, if the Niners.
I think Pittsburgh did it 1 year. I think Pittsburgh won as a wild card 1 year. They had to win their way in and just kept winning.
Like, the Niners, like, not like, yeah, they like winning the wild card or getting a wild card spot and getting to the playoffs, but more so like they. I don't know how much I buy just thinking. They'll be healthy come playoff time and just turn it up then.
I'm not saying they can coast. I'm not saying they can turn it up. I'm saying, like, if they're Detroit and they go in and they play Detroit and beat them, that's not turning it up. It's just beating Detroit. If the two teams are on the same tier, if these are two teams that you look in your mirror and you go, These are kind of identical teams, and the 49ers just beat them. All they did was beat them. Now, the narrative will be they had the experience. Maybe they're more skilled. Maybe Christian McCaffrey got help. Maybe this happened. Maybe that happened. There are all these hypothetical situations that you could have that have nothing to do with turning it up or nothing to do with all of a sudden being healthy. If it's teams on the same tier, one of the teams has to win. I think the 49ers are going to be able to do that. If the case goes, you asked if teams have struggled, you know, and been able to come out and win a Super Bowl. I don't remember if it was last year's team or the year they played the Bucks, but one of those Chiefs teams struggled a little bit during the regular season, didn't they? I mean, struggle is also a relative word.
I think relative to the Chiefs, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about, when I say I think the San Francisco, I'm not thinking that the San Francisco 49ers are going to go like 10-7. Like, I see something like a little bit stronger than that. But, yeah, there's levels to that. And I feel like teams, yeah, they've struggled in the past. The Chiefs have struggled in the past. The 49ers, you don't want one glaring thing. And right now, it feels like the 49ers have a glaring thing. Because you can talk about special teams, and that's fine. That's related to yesterday's loss. That's not related to the season. What is related to the season is their defense. Which is wild because all of their marquee injuries have been on the offensive end. But Brock Purdy has been so good that it doesn't matter. Hell, and let me give credit. Like, Juwan Jennings was fantastic yesterday. Juwan Jennings was so good yesterday. It sucks that Ayuk can't get going. It sucks that Deebo wasn't there. Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle. I don't know what the status is of George Kittle. I don't know if he's week to week, day to day. That was kind of the RKO out of nowhere. Everybody practiced on Wednesday. All of a sudden, George Kittle was on the injury report Thursday. He was doubtful Friday, and then he was out. Debo's not going to be back versus the Patriots. We know Christian McCaffrey won't be back versus the Patriots. Those, to me, aren't big issues. The big issues are Nick Bosa. The big issues are that defensive line. The big issues are getting to the quarterback. You got Jacoby Brissett coming up this weekend? Maybe you might have Drake May. There's rumblings of quarterback changes all across the NFL already. I saw AP's remarks earlier. We'll get to that. You got to make them pay. And that, whether it doesn't have to be a get right game where all of a sudden the fortunes of that defensive line change, but it does have to be something where this defensive unit is better than this offensive unit, and they need to show it. Because when things went a little awry for the 49ers defensive unit last year, what happened? The defensive coordinator was brought into the conversation. Where the defensive coordinator was coordinating from was brought into the conversation. Probably not things that you want to happen again here this year with this new coordinator. It's the expectation of winning and the burden of losing. It's also the burden of expectations. In the grand scheme of things, the loss isn't a big deal. Doesn't mean it's not a bad loss. It is. It just means the 49ers have a multitude of things to correct, and they need to do that sooner rather than later. The best thing I think that they can hang their hat on is they're suffering all of these injury issues on the offensive end, and their offense is still playing the way that it did. It was not flawless on Sunday. Don't misunderstand me. They were virtually flawless in the first quarter. Then they had plays they couldn't convert. They had penalties that would get them in trouble. They had some pretty That's a pretty costly penalties along the way, too, on the offensive end. You can't have those. Especially, I mean, no coach wants those ever. No team wants those ever. You really, really, really can't have them when you got so many stars out. You really, really, really can't have them when you got so many playmakers out. You really, really, really can't have them when you're already digging into your depth chart. Because you're down one already. You go into the game and it's Ayuk is out. Or Kittle is out. Debo's out. Name another guy. Out. Christian McCaffrey, out. All right, so you're starting at a deficit right there. You make it worse with the penalties. You make it worse with the self-inflicted mistakes. You make it worse when special teams, I almost feel bad for the special teams because they're sort of supposed to be nondiscreet. If you can make a really big play, that's big time, you're going to get some attention. But really, it's just kind of, let's go through the motions, the punt, the kickoffs. Oh, look at the new kickoff, dynamic kickoff. Oh, cute, it's cool. All right, get off the field, bring Brock Purdy out. Get off the field, skip Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, and all those guys out there. Boy, special teams become a conversation when things go bad. And things went bad for the San Francisco 49ers special teams yesterday. So they were a conversation. And when you become a conversation on a Monday, you're going to be a little bit under the microscope through that week into the following, in this case, Sunday. It's a tough look for the 49ers. And still, I'm not sure it was as bad as what we saw in Las Vegas. I said it to start the show. I'll repeat it all throughout the day if you want to. It's my bad. I need to learn to trust the Roddies and the Dr. Davids. And I need to trust all of the Raiders fans out there. I need to trust Raider Nation. Because the outcome of this game was written on a wall in Sharpie. I'll do you one better. It was written on a wall in lights. And I wanted to not see it. I wanted to not see it because I like Antonio Pierce. I wanted to not see it because I want the Raiders to do well. But you look back to last year, and you could see it right there on the wall. If you look back 2 years ago, it was written right there on the wall. And it's my bad for thinking that that win against the Baltimore Ravens on the road could catapult in the Raiders into something that maybe would have them a little bit better than we originally anticipated. Unfortunately, Raider Nation, we're going to dive into that Raiders loss here. In the meantime, if you want to focus on better health because your football team is making it bad.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head over to trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. The best way to jumpstart your fitness, the best way to jumpstart your overall health is by switching up your diet a little bit. And trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320 has offered us a free nutritionist consultation. Whether you want to meet in person, whether you want to meet on Zoom, whether you just want to exchange emails with somebody, my man Greg over at Train With Map will do that with you. They've got a free macro calculator. You put in your weight, you put in your height, you put in some different measurables, and they'll tell you, hey, you need to be eating more of this. What are your goals? You want to lose weight? You should be eating more of this. You want to get a little bit bigger? You want to gain weight? You should eat a little bit more of this. It breaks it all down for you down to the gram. Also has a link directly to maptrition.com where you can get the fat burners that I take, the cravings crushers, which I love, the strength enhancers, all of the different things that are a part of my fitness regimen. So again, head over to trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. It is a site that was built specifically for us. trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. And we'll come back with more on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN1320. We'll talk about the other things that happened across the NFL throughout the day. I just mentioned there's some games that I want to go back and kind of watch, like actually watch the whole game. It's going to be difficult because there's two games tonight. Obviously, the WNBA playoffs are going on. Like, I don't know that I'm going to make watching the Vikings and Texans a super priority, though I'd be really interested in seeing how the Vikings ran the score up on the Texans like that. Was able to keep a bit of a close eye on the Eagles Saints nonsense, how that game came to be. So we'll get to all of that. Of course, the very interesting conclusion to the Baltimore Ravens and the Dallas Cowboys. And for all of those that were tuning in, hoping to hear a Jerry Jones impression based off of Jamie Foxx's Instagram video.
I was shocked to find out that was real. I thought like someone was making a joke or something on Twitter, but all right, Jer.
I don't even know what to say about it, man. I don't even know what to say about it other than it doesn't surprise me one bit. If you don't know what we're referring to, you're just going to have to go see it for yourself because I have zero interest in hashing that out. And I actually have zero interest in this conversation we're about to have, but I'm a broadcast journalist, and I guess we have to do it. There's no other way to describe what happened to the Las Vegas Raiders yesterday other than embarrassing. And I'll take the L. I do that when it's appropriate.
Go ahead and throw me in there, too. I'll take the L as well.
All right. We'll take the L. Because we came in here last week. And I was genuinely, and I think we were genuinely excited about what the Raiders were able to do in the fourth quarter against the Baltimore Ravens. Now, just as the 49ers blowing a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter to the Los Angeles Rams was a bad loss for the San Francisco 49ers, the Ravens blowing a double-digit loss to the Las Vegas Raiders at home was a bad loss for the Baltimore Ravens. But that doesn't matter. The Raiders got the dub. And you looked at that and you thought, man, maybe this isn't the same old Raiders. Maybe there's enough. You don't want Gardner Minshew to have to win quarters for you. You don't want Gardner Minshew to have to really, really do anything but kind of manage the situation. And I'll give him credit. Against Baltimore, he had to help them win that game. A big reason that the Raiders were able to win that game in Baltimore was because of what Gardner Minshew did. Deserves credit for that. Asking him to do that on the regular is a tough look. Asking him to do that on the regular is not realistic. But I bought it. I bought it because I bought the defense. I bought it because I bought Antonio Pierce. And we said all of last week, going into this weekend, you have the opportunity to go 2-1. You have the opportunity, as you look ahead to the schedule, oh, you got a chance maybe to bank a couple here. You got a chance to maybe get ahead of some things as the schedule starts to get tougher. We all know what the Denver Broncos are. Got them in a couple weeks. You got Cleveland next week. Cleveland stinks. Cleveland is everything Jesse says that they are. They're awful.
It's not hate. Just been telling the truth.
And that quarterback is cooked. My God. I have never seen a fall off in any sport greater than Deshaun Watson's final year playing for the Houston Texans to what he is now. He was him that last year in Houston. He is awful right now. That's who you got coming up. Oh, man. The Raiders might be able to get a couple here. All right, dude. And this is where Roddy, this is where Raider fans, this is where Raider Nation was like, oh, D, chill out, bro. It's not how this works. Nah, pump your brakes. Exciting win. Great win against Baltimore. Great win in Baltimore. Slow down. Don't do that. Because history says what you're thinking right now, the exact opposite will happen. You thinking that the Carolina Panthers are going to go in here, a disaster of a team that just made a switch at the quarterback position. You think they're going to walk in on the home opener and the Raiders are going to have their way because they're riding high off of the win in Baltimore.
That's the thing, too. Like, the Raiders aren't even going to, like, Kansas City or anything like that. So, oh, yeah, the Raiders can, like, beat the Chiefs maybe or something like that. No, I was just saying, hey, Raiders are playing the worst team in the league this week. They can build some momentum and maybe be legit.
73-13. You know what that is? Anybody know what that is?
I'll say, I'm going to go out on a limb. It's a rushing yard total for both teams.
73-13 is what Carolina was outscored by the first 2 weeks of the season.
That's tough.
73-13. And Raider fans last week said, don't do it. Stop it. And I apologize. Because it was just last year, it was week 7 last year, that a Division II quarterback, whose name I can't even pronounce, Tyson Bagnett.
Bagnett.
Fine.
One of those?
That guy.
Tyson B?
Got it. Him. Beat the Raiders' ass. A Division II quarterback. Week 7, Chicago Bears walked in, beat the Raiders' ass. An embarrassing loss for the Raiders. Got it. You remember what happened 2 years ago? 2 years ago, Jeff Saturday walked off the set of NFL Live with no notice of becoming the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Stepped on the sideline and beat who? The goddamn Raiders.
So we got multiple of these. I thought you were going to bring up Baker Mayfield walking off the plane onto the field.
3 straight years, the Raiders have housed a terribly embarrassing loss. 36-year-old Andy Dalton walks onto the field at Allegiant Stadium and looks like Patrick Mahomes. 300-plus yards passing. The Panthers hadn't led a game since week 13 of last year. And here's the killer. They didn't just beat the Raiders. They beat the Raiders' ass. Like, beat their ass. It was a whooping.
Final score has them down by two scores, but even then feels like it was a lot farther than that.
Yeah, there were a lot of fake points scored at the end of that game. Oh, and man, did Antonio Pierce have some things to say after that game. Panthers had 437 yards, zero turnovers. The Carolina Panthers had 24 first downs and had the ball for 36 minutes. The Carolina effing Panthers did that to the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, we had an extensive discussion about Bryce Young, the Panthers organization, and what that benching might mean for them moving forward. If you're telling me Andy Dalton is good for 36 points and getting that offense up to 437 yards, I told Jake Gaden this last night. I told KC, Brennan, I quit. I am not good enough to do this job. If you're telling me that Andy Dalton, that's his impact on the Carolina Panthers, I have to quit. He's 36 years old. Now, there's a lot of different things you could argue with Andy Dalton versus Bryce Young. And we did it pretty extensively last week. Does anybody think that that's what Andy Dalton is? Or is that what the Las Vegas Raiders allowed Andy Dalton to be? Man, the Raiders being good for these type of embarrassments are frustrating. Let's look at this team as a whole. Let's try to figure out exactly what we're watching. The Raiders gave up 100-plus yards rushing for the third straight game. Problem for a team, we said their defense was going to be their strong suit. Another L for me, I guess. The Raiders gave up 21 points twice in the 9 games Antonio Pierce coached last year. I'm going to repeat that. The Raiders gave up 21-plus points twice in the 9 games under AP last year. They've given up 21 points in all 3 games this year. That's a problem when you said the defense was going to be the strong suit. AP was pissed after the game. AP acknowledged he was pissed after the game. Antonio Pierce said there's nothing positive to take away from this. And even questioned some of the players' late game efforts. Even threatened some of their jobs. Said, I think some of these guys made some business decisions late in the game. Therefore, I've got some business decisions to make. That's Antonio Pierce in the postgame. Antonio Pierce today said he's not committed to Gardner Minshew being the starting quarterback in week 4. Aiden O'Connell got some run late in that game. He didn't commit to anybody. No practice today, no big deal, but when practice starts, who's going to be under center? And does that actually fix the issue? This was always going to be the thing with Gardner Minshew. This was always going to be it. You only could hope along the way he'd win a few games for you. You knew this was going to flame out. This thing never even got white hot. Maybe it did. Maybe it got hot in Baltimore, and that's as hot as it's going to get for Gardner Minshew. And is Gardner Minshew one of the guys who Antonio Pierce thinks made business decisions late? Because we did see Aiden O'Connell late in that game. I apologize to Raider Nation. I apologize for believing that this team might be able to do something. Let's get one of the real brothers of Sacramento in here. 916-909-1320, Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. Lewis, my brother, what's going on, man?
What is going on, brother? Look, I'm going to do you a solid. I know Casey's not there today, right? So I'm going to play his role. The Niners, trash. The Raiders, trash. The Browns, trash. Okay, but no, actually, what I really called to talk about was, the recycled older quarterbacks and how they find success. They're smart, they're talented, but their knock has always been they can't stay healthy and they can't do it for an extended period of time. So, you know what I mean? It's just one of those things. Trust me, the Golden Bear, whatever they call him, in Charlotte right now, he'll fall off. Flacco is gone as well too, right? Where's Flacco now? It just happens. So don't worry about it. Justin Fields is the truth. They 3-0 out there.
I like it. Yeah, I like it. I appreciate you, Lewis. I think you meant the Red Rocket though, not the Golden Bear. I think your keys are in here. I don't think you're going very far. Like Kyle's motioning to me, like, hey, see you tomorrow. I was like, buddy, your keys are like 2 feet in front of me. You're not going anywhere. I believe the Golden Bear that you're referring to, though, is the Red Rocket, Lewis. And I do like Justin Fields as well.
Poor one out for Cal. They lost to Florida State this week.
Yeah, it's a tough look for Cal. That's a tough, tough look for Cal. Did you want the microphone?
Hey, man.
Hey.
Are you at a break right now?
No.
Oh, you're on the air?
No, that's on the air. I didn't want you to walk all the way.
You were calling me out for my keys.
Well, no, I didn't want you to walk all the way downstairs and realize, oh, I don't have my keys, so I'm just going to put you up on screen because otherwise they wouldn't be able to hear
you. I appreciate the heck out of that because I parked at the electric car chargers.
Okay.
Not to brag. And it is so far away.
Yeah.
I leave my house at a different time to account for the walk from the electric car chargers to the building.
Good thinking.
Thanks,
man.
You
got a hell of a commute between the drive and the walk.
Yeah, the walk is the worst part.
For sure.
Yeah, man. No, that would have been the gaff of walking all the way there without my keys. It
would have been tough.
It would have been like Ronnie Bell, me, 1-2.
Ooh, well, yeah, not you good.
Know? Yeah.
Raiders, Kyle, same.
Oh, yes. It's a 2A, 2B situation there.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Raiders should be thanking the Niners, by the way. At least from a content standpoint on this station.
Yeah, the Raiders loss is tough, man. It's tough.
That was ugly.
It's not good.
But also, Andy Dalton doesn't suck at football. Jesse and I talked about this on Friday. Andy, he's not great. He's not going to win a Super Bowl or a playoff game or anything.
He threw for 300 some odd yards, dude.
And three touchdowns.
Against a defense that was supposed to be good.
Yeah.
And there is far more because... You know, you talk about the defense of the Las Vegas Raiders, the defense of the San Francisco 49ers. I think the 49ers have things they need to correct. I don't think that they're bad.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders defense this year has been bad, especially compared to what they were with Antonio Pierce last year. Mm-hmm. They're giving up 100-yard rushers every game. They're giving up more points so far this year than they did with Antonio Pierce last year. Mm-hmm. There's more evidence that, hey, something's a little off with this Raiders defense than there is with the 49ers, in my opinion.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe, but the expectation for the Niners is just so much higher. And
no,
I also think I also think with the Raiders, I do think the Malcolm Kuntz thing matters. Losing a player like that, losing your second best edge rusher like that is really, really tough.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still no excuse for 319 and three tutties from Andy Dalton.
Is that like Armstead? Is that the equivalent of Armstead being gone?
It would be like the equivalent of, man.
Let me ask that in a different way. Is Armstead's absence proven to be a big deal?
No, I don't think so. That's not been the biggest issue for me with the 49ers. But it doesn't help. Losing good players stinks.
Dre Greenlaw's absence?
That's the biggest one.
Yeah.
That's the biggest one for me.
Okay.
That's the most glaring. But
you don't have to stay. You can go. You got a long day.
All right.
You got another whole other radio show to host.
I can't wait.
You actually cheat on us, for those that don't know. You do have a show, multiple shows on 95.7.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Thanks.
Chatty House, go infiltrate 95.7. What time is that show tonight?
Oh, no. 6 o'clock. I don't know. I can't guarantee it's going to be on YouTube, though. It wasn't last week, but I don't know why.
Oh, okay.
It might be this week.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not sure.
Yeah, you're that little chatty house. The little croup is lame. I logged in just to see the chat. It's like these dudes. Well, no, I logged in to see you, but I couldn't help but notice the chat and that they suck. So,
okay. Yeah. I don't want to disparage anybody that's listening
that's
to me.
That's a good idea.
Talk about
No, that's a good idea.
Salute to everybody
It's a very good idea.
That's like the chatty apartment, though.
That's facts. This studio apartment. Not that there's anything wrong with a studio apartment.
No.
It's just, yeah, that's them.
Yeah.
All right, get out of here.
All right, appreciate you guys.
All right. Kyle Madsen, right there. He now has his keys and he can go home. But there are losses. No, good. All right. No, he actually didn't have his keys. He left them for a second time. That's great. And Frank Askin. So this is funny. Frank Askin, has Ronnie Bell been cut yet? Boy, has that become a conversation today. Take that back. That was a conversation last night. Feel bad for that brother, man. Feel bad for that young man. You can't miss. You got one job, dude. You got one job, and when you fall short, man, it can be disastrous. It can be costly, and it can cost you your job. And it appears Antonio Pierce is at the very least entertaining the thought of some people losing their job, whether that's Gardner Minshew or that's somebody else. I'm assuming we'll find in the upcoming days. I'd rather see. It appears that this offense, this Raiders offense, isn't very good to begin with. They're not. I'd rather see Aiden O'Connell than Gardner Minshew. I know that's hate. I know I've never liked Gardner Minshew. I know I'm never going to like Gardner Minshew. But just let me, I'd rather see Aiden O'Connell fail. 100%. I'd rather see Aiden O'Connell fail than anything else. Because I know Gardner Minshew is going to fail. And I think Antonio, is it unfair to start questioning AP?
No, if dudes are going into business for themselves and all that, he clearly doesn't have a hold on this team like they all say.
I was wondering if, I feel like the Raiders maybe were trying to fix a previous mistake and potentially made another one. I don't want to. I know the players really liked Antonio Pierce. Maybe Antonio. I think Antonio Pierce is probably a hell of a motivator. I think he's a hell of a locker room guy. I don't think it's ridiculous to think there might be a little bit more that goes into coaching than just those two things. Those are things you have to balance. I think Mike Tomlin might be one of the best examples of that type of coach. I think he's a locker room guy. I think he's a motivator. I also think he's a disciplinary guy. He's also an X's and O's guy. Like, Mike Tomlin is one of the great coaches the game has ever seen. I was hoping AP would be able to find that balance and strike that balance. And he's 9-12 games into his career. Doesn't mean he can't. Doesn't mean he won't. But he's in a tough spot right now. Because he's got to learn along the way. And this team, this Raiders team, this Las Vegas Raiders team, they're not very good. They're not. And I don't know how some of this gets corrected. I know the schedule doesn't matter anymore. Like, when you lose to the Carolina Panthers, it doesn't matter. Who's next on your schedule doesn't matter. Cleveland is next. Doesn't matter how bad Cleveland has been. Because no matter how bad Cleveland has been, they weren't worse than Carolina. There's no measurement you can use anymore for the Las Vegas Raiders where you're talking about other bad football teams. The Panthers were the worst. 73-13. The worst. So as bad as Cleveland is, as bad as Deshaun Watson is, doesn't matter. And while I think this is true for the Raiders. It's true for the San Francisco 49ers. It's true for every team in the NFL. I understand why we do it. It's fun. It's content. It's what fans like to do. This is why you don't look at the schedule and try to figure out wins and losses. Who knew Carolina was going to make a switch in the third week? Who knew that the Raiders were going to fall that flat at home besides virtually every Raider fan on the planet? Who knew Sam Darnold would lead Minnesota to a 3-0 record after Sam Darnold was brought in to be the backup quarterback? Realistically, anybody have Seahawks at 3-0? Anybody have Pittsburgh at 3-0? Anybody have Dallas looking as bad as they look? Anybody have Baltimore getting their first win in week three? Especially with said Raiders being the team they played in week two. That's why looking at the schedule is tough. It's why trying to map out wins and losses is virtually impossible. Every season is a new story. Every week is a new story. And there were some stories yesterday. And at the very least, one team made a statement. A statement that I genuinely think could last the entire year. We'll talk about that. We'll take a look around the rest of the NFL. We'll dive into the W as we approach the 2 o'clock hour. Of course, we got James Hamm coming up at 3. And some Brock Purdy stats that I think are pretty interesting as well. That's all ahead. Throw your hair with us. KC's out today. Ducking the smoke. Stealing with KC. Sacramento Sports Leader. ESPN 1320. And I saw John Pohl's message. We were having a conversation during the commercial break. Quinn Ewers will be the starter when he comes back from injury. Man, I thought the Arch Manning era had begun there in Texas.
Like, I don't think so, because I saw some mock drafts that have Quinn Ewers as like one of the top picks or whatever. So I figure if he's good enough for that, he'll get his job back now.
I mean, I guess I don't know. I thought they were just waiting for this moment with Arch, and it's here. I mean, Texas is Texas again. Like this is old school Texas right here at the top of the college football rankings right now, and I think. There's a rumor, or at least there's conversation, that Ewers will be back from that oblique injury this week for Texas's, I think it's their SEC debut this week. But man, I don't know. Arch looked pretty damn good to me. Georgia at number two, Tennessee at number three, Ohio State at number four. Ohio State falls every week. It's hilarious. They don't play anybody, but it's fine. Alabama at number five, Ole Miss at number six, Miami, Penn State, Oregon, and Utah. I wasn't as locked in on college football this week outside of Texas. That's the only team I was really kind of keeping an eye on. Was it our Friday night game? The Stanford one. I didn't watch that sorry-ass USC-Michigan game either. I would have had it going the other way, because best believe I had that on DVR.
If KC wasn't so scared and told me to put some money on Michigan, could have got that wedding paid for, but...
Yeah, that dude better not say anything about those sorry-ass Wolverines, because he was surprised they won, too. It was weak. Whatever. No statement made from Michigan this weekend. But I think a statement was made by the Minnesota Vikings. You know, that's a term people love to use. Statement wins, statement moments. That was a big time win against a team I really like.
They had CJ Stroud scared for his life out there, defense.
Yeah, man, they didn't beat the Patriots. They didn't beat like some scrubs. They beat a team that I think a lot of people feel like can compete in the AFC. Now, the run game's going to have to get stronger. Cam Akers had a rough day. But this is all a credit to Minnesota. Everything that we saw yesterday is a credit to what the Minnesota Vikings did. C.J. Stroud, 2 interceptions, not like him. That's a credit to what the Minnesota Vikings did. Sam Darnold threw for under 200 yards, but still managed to throw for 4 touchdowns. Got hurt in that game, and Minnesota said today it's no structural damage, nothing like that. But that's a big-time win for the Minnesota Vikings. Of the 3-0 teams, I mean, strike that from the record. Of the surprising 3-0 teams, the Pittsburghs and Seattle, Minnesota's the one where it's like, because obviously Kansas City's 3-0, Buffalo has a chance to go 3-0. They're the team where it's like, yeah, I think this is sustainable. Maybe, sorry, Jesse.
I was also going to say they're the most surprising 3-0 team because, let's be real, we all wrote them off after J.J. McCarthy got hurt.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I wasn't sure how good they were going to be with J.J. McCarthy. The idea that Sam Darnold is coming in and playing well isn't crazy. The idea that Sam Darnold is coming in and is playing this well is not something I really expected. Let's get Manny in here. Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Host of the Chatty House After Party. Manny, what's going on?
Hey, and don't forget to tune in this Wednesday, 8 p.m. We have a lot to talk about, talk to NFL and stuff, and we have a surprise guest that everybody loves in Sacramento, so make sure you tune in.
Wow, booking guests already. I like it.
So, like you're talking about Sam Darnold, you know, looking at players like him and Fields, and you see what can happen when somebody gets, there's a belief in that player, and when somebody gets to just change environment, they need somewhere new to get a fresh start, right? And Bryce Young seems to be on the verge of that also, where maybe he goes and sits behind someone. It might even be behind Andy Dalton for a little bit, which should have happened last year. He should have been, when he was struggling, he should have had a veteran take over for a little bit, show him the ropes, and then get a fresh start, whether it's there or somewhere else. But you see what happens when it's not always necessarily, you know, that person or the skill level, they're not capable of playing in the NFL. It's the organizations a lot of times that are at fault with how they handle these guys and rushing them into the spotlight because they're so worried about that next contract.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think it's the I don't think there's a concern. Like, the organization doesn't care about the next contract. The organization cares about winning and losing. And Manny, one thing that I think you're 100% right about is, and I've said this for years, there are more good quarterbacks ruined by bad organizations than anything else in the NFL. And is Sam Darnold a product of that? It kind of checks out for me. We've outlined this before. The Jets are a disaster. The Jets had to go get the most foolproof possible quarterback to not fall flat on their face. They've tried. I mean, they drafted Sam Darnold at the top of the draft. They drafted Zach Wilson at the top of the draft. You can argue whether either of those quarterbacks are good, or you can argue over whether how good they are. I'm not going to debate that with you. What I can tell you with definitively is the Jets stink. The Jets' ability to develop a quarterback stinks. They had to go get a quarterback that they didn't have to develop. They had to go get a Hall of Famer. There was like one guy they could possibly go get and not screw up. When Aaron Rodgers ultimately leaves, probably next year, or retires, or does whatever the hell Aaron Rodgers does, guess what's going to happen? If they go and try to draft a quarterback, they're going to suck. They fail in that department. And there might only be one organization that's worse, and it's the Carolina Panthers. Sam Darnold played for who? The Jets? And then the Panthers. Shocking. It didn't work out with either one of them. But he gets to San Francisco, and everybody's marveling over how good he looks. Now, some of the conversation about him being the starting quarterback and all of this nonsense, that was dumb. But there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, man, Sam Darnold looks really good in camp. As if they're surprised by it, because they saw him look like ass in a Jets jersey and a Carolina Panthers jersey. But he looks good now. He looks great with the Minnesota Vikings. Manny spot on. It's the organization. He talked about Justin Fields. We talk about statements. Did the Minnesota Vikings make a statement this week? Sure feels like it to me. And this is much of a credit to who they beat. They beat a team, and maybe it's just me, because they beat a team that I believe in. They beat the Houston Texans. They beat up the Houston Texans. What about Justin Fields? I don't think Justin Fields was going to be the starting quarterback this year. Russell Wilson might have lost his opportunity to be the starting quarterback this year. What's Mike Tomlin going to make a change for? It's a 3-0 football team right now. And Justin Fields may have just had his best game as a professional quarterback yesterday. Is it a team buying in? Could be. Is it a better situation? Could be. What's the conversation around Caleb Williams right now? Oh, maybe they should bench him. Maybe they should bench him until they figure this out. Well, why wouldn't you? He's facing the same issues that Justin Fields faced last year. So unless he was a marketably better quarterback, how did you expect the start of Justin Fields, or excuse me, the start of Caleb Williams' career to be any different than the start of Justin Fields? And when was the last time the Bears had a good quarterback? Who was it, Manning? For real. Was it Jay Cutler? Who was the last? I like Caleb Williams, by the way. And I think Caleb Williams is going to be a very good quarterback. But these, I don't feel like these narratives follow teams as much as they should. Baker Mayfield is another great example. Baker was really good in Cleveland. Played a large portion of a season, played a postseason, hurt. Played a large portion of a season and missed out on the postseason, hurt. We can upgrade him. Let's go get Deshaun Watson. You think they want that one back? Because, again, let's look at this. Baker plays well in Cleveland. Goes to Carolina. Not good. Not good at all. Gets to the Rams. Performs fine in his role. Has a backup role. Performs fine in it. Performs well in it even. Has played really well for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So who's the outlier now? It's the Carolina Panthers. You know the number one reason that people are starting, or the number one way you can tell that people are starting to look around and look at the Carolina Panthers. The number one reason you know that people aren't putting this entirely on Bryce Young? The reports all weekend that teams are inquiring about trading for Bryce Young. Now, I know their little general manager or coach or whoever said, yeah, we're not interested in trading him. That's fine. I think deep down they know this Andy Dalton thing has a shelf life, whether it's 1 week, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. Talk about Andy Dalton being a marketably better quarterback. You can say whatever you want to about Andy Dalton as a quarterback. This isn't going to be something that they sustain for a lengthy period of time. This is something Andy Dalton isn't going to be able to sustain for a lengthy period of time. In the end, the Carolina Panthers know they're going to have to go back to Bryce Young. And I don't think it's going to go any better for Bryce, because I think the Carolina Panthers are a terrible organization. But you've got teams inquiring about trading for Bryce Young, meaning they know the issue is more them than him. Not to say that Bryce Young doesn't have his shortcomings. Not at all what I'm saying. He absolutely does. I'm saying the people who saw him as a number one overall pick, they still see him as a top pick. They might feel like they can get him a little cheaper now than they could have when he was actually the number one overall pick in the draft. But if they thought he was that bad, if they thought he was as bad as some of his stat lines are, they wouldn't be inquiring about him.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.